Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Welcome, everyone, to Rock That Relationship. We are here today to talk about shifting mindsets. It's all part of our series on self-love, and we are going to be talking all about mindsets, how to get to the point where your mindset encourages that self-growth, self-love, self-work, all the things that want to, you know, help you want to be a better person. So, yay, exciting topic, right?
Yes, all of our topics are exciting.
I know every one of them. I get so excited. Well, because we come up with them and we're like, yay, this is fun. So let me just start by asking you this. What do you think mindsets have to do with self-love? Like, why are we even talking about this?
Well, I mean, obviously, if you have a good mindset, I mean, I would assume that would be across the board about a lot of things, including yourself. And if you have the people I've known with negative affect or negative mindset, that really, I think, comes from within.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't help them.
Yeah, sometimes you feel like your mindset, if you have kind of a negative or a detrimental mindset, it can drag you down, right? And
yes,
it's hard. It feels heavy. We're going to talk about three different sets of mindsets today and shifting from one to the other. And we'll just kind of free range talk about some of these things, because I think they're really interesting as we explore them. So let's look at the first one, because you just brought this one up, this idea about moving from a negative to a positive mindset. This is the one most people think of most frequently as having a positive mindset. And we're going to talk about two others as well, but this is really the foundation. So I don't know, on a scale of like one is negative and 10 is positive, where do you think your mindset is in this present time of your life?
Like in general or in relation to specific topics like self-growth and self-love?
I mean, we do both.
In general?
Yeah, in general. Yeah.
Probably my mindset is like a 9 or 10. Now, is that realistic given my career situation? I don't know, but that's where my mindset is.
Well, like, yeah.
I'm just happy.
Okay. Okay.
And do I have reason to be happy? I don't know. I mean,
you always have reason to be happy. That's the whole point of shifting mindsets,
that's
right?
There, the mindset. Exactly.
Exactly.
And if one part of my life is perfect, but another part isn't, should that bleed over into the perfect part?
I mean, does it?
No.
I mean,
it shouldn't. No, that's what we should work to not. So even if you have to like compartmentalize your mind, right? Your mindsets. Like it's weird because people always say I was very pessimistic and they call me a pessimist. And I'm like, I actually think I'm an optimistic person. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but being vegetarian and vegan since I was 14 years old, like I still believe that everyone will become vegan. That is my belief. Like that's the like guiding principle that I live with. And so like, I think that's very positive. And then when I have positive things in my life, even if all aspects of my life are not positive, like from an outsider's point of view, I still feel positive. Like, and I'm grateful for the parts that are super positive.
So when you compartmentalize, like if you were to look at your life right now, as you just asked, like, is it generally or just self-love? What parts of your mindset or what parts of your life have a more positive mindset than others, maybe currently?
I mean, my personal life, so my relationship, my home life, my all that, like that's in my mind, great, perfect. So I'm very positive about that. And I think that keeping that positive mindset, even when there's difficulties, helps you, you know, continue along, right? Like, I mean, really is. I mean, your mind dictates everything, right? Like I talked about one time, like, when I was on a dog walk and it was dark and it was like 4 or 5 in the morning and I was really upset about something or mad or agitated. I think it was about work. And I was so agitated that I thought I was going to like freak out. Right. But then I was like, well, I'm on a dog walk. What can I do? And like within a few minutes of calming myself down and reshifting or like shifting my focus, like I felt better and I became happier, like literally on that dog walk. And obviously nothing at 4 or 5 in the morning had changed with my job, but it was right. how I was choosing to look at it, or I didn't even look at it, but like, how am I going to deal with it? Am I, even if things are going badly, you could still have a positive mindset. So I think that that's like, if you were to look at my life and say, well, your career is garbage and you're not doing anything, why do you have a good mindset? You should have a crap one. Like, I should be in the dumps about it, but I'm not. Why? Well, I don't know.
Hopefully you're not hanging out with people who are putting that mindset into you.
No,
right?
But like, if you were to look at that, like from, you know, a literal non-biased outside opinion about what's happening in my career, my work life, everyone objectively, I think, would say, oh, no, it's not going well. Right. But for whatever reason, it doesn't, I don't have like a bad mindset about it.
It's so interesting because I think that what's happening in your career is great. I've been wanting you to do this forever. You seem much happier and much more centered. See, I have an optimistic outlook.
Well, I always am until I panic about money.
Yeah. I mean, that's a real issue, but I mean, I have an optimistic outlook for you on this. But I think one of the things you're talking about that really hits home is this concept of worry. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I'm the biggest worrier. And we worry about things that happened in the past. So we ruminate and ruminate. Did I do that okay? Should I have done something different? And it's already done, right?
Right.
But we worry and it keeps this like negative affect in our bodies. And then we also worry about the future. We speculate. What if, right. what if, what if, what if? And most of the time, the things we're worried about don't happen. And frankly, even if they do, most of the time, they're not as bad as we thought, or we've done our work and created some kind of a plan B so that we're situated when something happens. So
it was awful and now you're out of it.
Right. Exactly. And worry doesn't help. But people will say to me, don't worry. And then that makes me worry more. Right. Like, that's not a good command. But if you can embrace it where like you did on the dog walk and say, OK, hold on. I have no control over this situation. All I'm doing is ruining this dog walk.
Right.
Like, it's 4 in the morning. Like, nothing right. has changed. And so part of that positive mindset is releasing the negative one, right? So
right.
that you can kind of clear the slate so that you can start with sort of an empty bucket and then fill it with the good things that you have. So it's not like you're either negative or positive. It's like sometimes there's this neutral space where you have to first let go of the negativity, then build the positivity. But some people just try to immediately replace it. It's like you go from my job sucks to like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about my job. That's like such a pendulum swing. It's like almost unrealistic. But if you can let go of like, my job situation is really tricky, and you could say, hold on, I'm going to clear the slate a minute. I'm going to think about it. I didn't really love that role I was in. It wasn't going the direction I wanted to go. Okay, now what can I do to be more positive? And then move that direction. So I think that there's like a little bit of a process for shifting that mindset.
Yeah. And also I think it's just your perspective and what you choose to focus on. And that's what, I don't know if I've done this intentionally or whether it's happened to me, because I used to be like so negative about the world and all of its problems and how we were going to, you know, like it's just this earth is a sinking ship, right? And then I was depressed. And then I realized either gradually or all at once, like me being personally miserable isn't helping that situation. Like, you know, that's not going to help it. And like, okay, the flooding at the elephant sanctuary last year, right? So it's about this time, a year and a month ago. And you see the people online who are like, you two elephants drown, you know, it's like, well, how many were saved? So which are you going to look at? How many were saved? How many animals were saved? And how these people were out there, these refugee people in their bare feet, banging on these, you know, in the mud and the water up to their, you know, over their necks, like trying to save the ones that were still alive and holding their trunk up. So am I going to focus on the fact that like, yeah, it's really sad. There was loss of life, or how many people helped to save life? How many people helped, you know, in that process and how they went above and beyond. And so like, that's what I'd rather look at. I think yeah. that if you take that perspective in life is like, okay, yeah. So recently I separated from my job. do I want to sit here and wallow, or do I take this time, you know, to one, enjoy myself, and two, you know, say, okay, take the time to be reflective about what I can do. And I always do that. I am reflective and then I panic. So this, my challenge this time is not to panic, not to act out of panic and take a job that I don't really want.
Right. I mean, that's a good goal. But I think back about like what you're talking about, the kind of the doom and gloom of the world. And you and I have had many conversations over the years. You would send me some kind of link to something and it's about how the world is blowing up. And I would tell you, like, I can't go there right now. Like, I would draw boundaries, and you and I have talked about it. And it's like, what's the difference between drawing boundaries and putting your head in the sand? And I was like, I can't be all consumed with negativity all the time, because it makes it almost impossible for me to be positive about things that are even unrelated to that. It's just like, it's just so heavy. I actually stopped listening to the news. I can't carry all of that. It's not that, I mean, I do read through headlines.
You do news, right?
I do news, but I stop listening to all those like news of political shows and incessantly every day. And I flip through headlines and I read stories that are of interest to me, but I can't be all consumed with the negativity. And the same with people in my world. Like, if they're just negative Nellies, like, it's hard because I want to be positive. Like, if I were looking at my scale, I probably am somewhere consistently around an 8. To 9 consistently in every area of my life. Sometimes I dip down if there's something going on, but I have a pretty strong set point for my positivity. And I know the things that bring it down. And so I don't want to surround myself with those. And so that's kind of the first step of shifting from a negative to positive, is thinking about what are those external things that are negative. We do enough negative mindset thinking on our own, right? The worry and the speculation and the rumination. We don't need to carry all the other negative stuff all the time, you know?
That's the thing. So for me, like, I did continue to consume news. I do, but I like did some kind of blocking in myself where I can consume it and not be consumed by it. But I did stop watching a lot of, like, I was watching that show about, oh my God, what is that guy's name? It's called Monster on Netflix. It's about the serial killer from Wisconsin, Ed Gein. I forget if he had like a special serial killer name, but I couldn't do it. I actually said, I can't watch this. It's sick. Like, it was so sick that I was up at 1 a.m. searching the Barbie of Buchenwald and like, were these things in this show true? And then to really find out that they were. And it's not that I can't know that, because I can know that those things happen in the world, but to watch like a dramatization about it, I could not handle it. But then I just watched Harriet Tubman movie the other day and loved it. So I think it's like, I don't know, there has to be, well, we're watching Harriet Tubman and Harriet Tubman is doing something. She's taking action. She's, you know what I mean? It's not, and she's not a sicko. Like, I can't let that sicko stuff in anymore. I probably had a much higher tolerance for it a long time ago.
Perhaps. I mean, it was about 12 years ago or so that I decided I was no longer going to watch crime shows, like like real ones or even fake ones. I used to watch like Law and Order. I used to watch CSI, all of those, Criminal Minds. Stopped every single thing. I don't watch scary movies anymore. I don't watch things about serial killers. I don't watch things about murder. I don't want to consume that. So I consume rom-coms, and I'm constantly watching like reality dating shows, which are scary in their own right, by the way.
Right.
But I don't want to consume it. It's like, I have enough to try to contend with my own propensity to slip into some negativity at times, that I don't need the external world just handing it to me on a platter. It's like, create those boundaries around you. The friend that always complains. It's like, at some point you just tell them like, hey, listen, let's talk about something else. It's just, sometimes it's too much.
Well, I actually unfriended a friend from college years ago who was so negative. I couldn't handle it. Like, it was just too much. Like, this is a person who would ask somebody else what the weather was outside rather than going out and seeing, or the every post was like of a negative bent, you know? And nothing you could do anything about, you know, and it was like, oh my, I just unfriended her. And then I've never talked to her since. I can't handle it. And that's the other thing, like, because I will just become then disliking and critical. And, you know, I mean, I've done work on genocide stuff. I've worked, you know, working in Cambodia, and I know other people don't like to hear that. And I do like to talk about it because it's a lived experience of friends of mine. But I guess it's like, I was doing work to like help heal it. So I feel like if you are going to consume something that's like negative or negative in nature, then have like a way to do something about it. You know, like I followed this guy who rescues elephants. He's been rescuing like one or two a month, and he's rescuing the baby and the mom are chained up, and it's terrible to see. But I'm sharing that information. I'm doing that because there can be a positive outcome, you know?
Right. Like, and it's a call to action of sort too, you know, you're informing and that feels different.
Well, there's a GoFundMe to help. Yeah. So yes, a call to action. Look, you can be part of erasing this negativity. So I feel like if we are exposed to negativity, then yes, there should be a way to see a positive out of it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and I think of too, like, and we've talked about this on the show, you know, in several different seasons, is the power of the law of attraction. But when it comes to mindsets, right, it's like I shifted over and started embracing law of attraction in 2021. I learned everything I could about it. And I started putting out kind of positive energy, positive vibes, kind of. It was interesting how much negativity fell off just around me and how much I attracted more positivity. I attracted more people who were positive, more positive experiences. And just this idea that if you believe something good will happen, a lot of times something good will happen, or at least you see it as good, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe the outcome would be the same, but you're seeing it as good. And that's the thing. It's like I had a situation where I just bought my car this summer. I was so excited about it. And someone backed into it and crashed the back of the car. And I was, you know, I was like, well, it is what it is. Like, took it into the collision center. I didn't have to pay anything for it. I didn't have it for a couple of weeks. So I could be really upset about it. Or I could think, hey, get this. I'm going to the Grand Canyon during that time, and I'm going to have a rental car, and I don't have to put miles on my new car. I can take a rental car. So I was like, hey, this is kind of cool. You know, like, I put out into the universe that I wasn't upset about this, and not that I was happy about it, but I put out to the universe that I was not really angry. And the universe sent me a response back that was a total mindset shift about how to look at this, what most people would be upset about. Right. You know, I could see as had a positive bent to it.
You're good at that.
Well, do you put out positive energy, do you think?
Well, yes. And I just would like to note that we did meet in 2021. So I guess you putting out that positive energy, Drew. I mean, we've talked about that before, like to be like that we met at the most opportune time, right? If we had met before, things probably wouldn't have gone the way they did. But it's hard for me to fully embrace that. Like, I do embrace, you know, manifesting. And I told you I'm going to get back into it. And I mean, I do generally try to have a positive mindset, but I also feel like that makes me concerned that the thought is, oh, okay, well then somebody who is a victim of crime or something terrible happened to them, somehow they drew that to them, you know? So it's tricky.
Yeah, I don't know that that law of attraction is about bringing experiences to someone. I think it's about bringing feelings to someone. So it's like someone doesn't put out into the world all this stuff, and then all of a sudden something horrible happens, and thus they deserved it because they must have been manifesting it or must have been attracting it. I don't think people attract those things. I think they attract feelings. I think they attract maybe opportunities, those intangibles, right? So if I'm putting kind of a positive view out into the world, I'm getting a positive view back. I'm not getting like, people think of like manifesting and stuff as like, you're just getting like a check in the mail. Like, it's not usually those tangible things. It's not like something just arrives to you. So it's not, so I see that as both like not happening in the positive realm, but I also see it as not happening in the negative realm. So I don't think that we like secretly or subconsciously manifest horrible things to happen to us. I think things just happen. But I think what we manifest is the feelings around it. It might be like my mom. I don't think that because my mom died, I manifested that. But I will tell you, during the process after her death, I put out a lot more positive energy about how to see, you know, what could be good in this. And a lot of things came from that. I would never wish that my mother wasn't here, but you know, I have a closer relationship with my brother. My brother ended up being able to quit his job and do a different job. And he's so much happier and healthier and will probably live a lot longer. And I think not that, again, I would trade that. And I brought in my mom's death, but like the energy I put out is like, hey, something positive had to come from this. And so the universe sent me something positive back.
Well, and that's more like making lemons out of, or making lemonade out of lemons, right? I mean, because what, your mom is a sacrificial lamb for your lives. Like, what was your mom's path? Like, you know, your mother didn't do anything to deserve what happened to her, you know? And so it's like, why did that happen to your mother? I mean, if you're into karma, you could think that that something had happened in a previous life and she had a lesson to learn. I mean, it's so complicated, right? Because there's some of these aspects that I really believe and then some I don't. Because she,
yeah,
there's no way that she deserved what happened. So,
yeah. But again, I don't believe that that's manifesting or law of attraction. I just think things happen to people because she was such a great human. I mean, she didn't deserve to die. And people who die or have bad things happen, they don't typically deserve them. They just happen. But it's the mindset, right? It's the looking at things and saying, I could be, you know, victimized by this, which some things are so terrible and people are victimized. And sometimes you can just say, we're making a mountain out of a molehill, like the someone backing into my car, right?
Or you're choosing to look at other aspects of it. Like,
right.
You know, like you're choosing, I mean, in your case, that was someone that you knew, their kid. And so you had to be kind also during the experience, right? Where otherwise you could have been agitated and you had to like keep yourself in check. And
yeah, I mean, I did, but you know, what's so interesting is consciously that didn't, I think if it would have happened with someone else, I don't see myself having lost my cool mm-hmm. or anything. I just, it just was like, it is what it is. And I'm like, it'll all work out. And I got my car back. It looks great. So, I mean, it's hard because bad things happen to us. And so do we want to be Pollyanna-ish about it and say like, we always have to be positive every time something bad happens.
Right. That's people, no. You know, call that toxic positivity.
Exactly. But I do think that there's like an in-between somewhere, right? Where mm-hmm. you can say, you know, like if I were to say, oh my gosh, it's so great that you hit my car. I was hoping that you would. No, that's ridiculous. Right? But I can also say, listen, it's not the end of the world. Like no one got hurt. It was parked. It was
a minimal
charge.
What if it is the end of the world? What if you're in a concentration camp? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it is. I mean,
what do you do then? I mean,
but look at people, look at history where people have been in really dire situations, prisoners, people in concentration camps where they've, you know, we come to learn that some of the ways that they were able to get through the day was mindset, right? Mm-hmm, the power of mindset is really tied to survival. It's, you believe that you're going to survive another day in even the most horrid conditions. You may. And again, I've never been in anything that dire, so I can't really speak to it. But I do know that mindset is incredibly powerful. And we have a lot of research behind the fact that it shows that even in the worst, worst situations, we can somehow find a way out mm-hmm. with our mindset.
With our mind. In our mind.
Maybe not out of the situation, right? Like my car was still at the collision center. I didn't like manifest it just to be fixed in my garage one day. It doesn't work like that. But I could at least have the attitude and I didn't worry about it. It was like mm-hmm. gone for a few weeks. I'm like, whatever. I drove the rental car. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care. Like, but if I worried and worried and worried and worried, like what's the point of that?
Yeah. But that's hard. It's hard to, and I do think it's hard for a lot of people to come to that, to be able to have that ability to work themselves out of that, you know? Right. I mean, it's interesting because when I was a cop, I'd see these people that were getting victimized over and over again. And I'm like, what on earth? Like, how can this happen again and again and again? Like, at some point, you're a participant, right? In those cases, extreme cases of people like that. But the world is full of examples of just people who are victimized by other people mm-hmm. that weren't in the wrong. I mean, you know, that just were a victim of circumstances. And absolutely. I guess then your mindset just has to be how, can I get through this? Can I not? You know?
Right. Right. Because nobody deserves any of this stuff.
Right.
It's just that bad things happen to people all the time. And if you can't go back in time and change that or if you can't change the circumstances now, the only thing you can change is your mindset about it.
Yeah. Right?
And that's,
it's the question of being human and how do you get through this world? You know?
Right. Right. And how do you do this? Right. I mean, we're bringing it up, but we're not talking about real strategies to do it. Right. How do you do it? I mean, we talked about some ways to, you know, kind of shield yourself from the external world, limiting news and shows and negative people. But what do you do when you have to interrupt those thoughts, right? Like you did on the dog walk, you have to literally interrupt those thoughts and reframe. That's what we keep talking about.
Or refocus, focus on something else. Focus
exactly.
on the butterfly, focus on, you know, the other humanity around you, focus on the helpers, the, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Don't focus on the two elephants who died. Shift it and immediately focus on the elephants that were saved. I mean, part of that is you have to train your brain to be able to do that. And it's a very conscious effort at first because it's very easy to slip into the negative part versus the positive part. But I mean, the interruption is probably one of the best ways in order to retrain yourself.
Yeah, we've talked about that in a podcast before, well, like breaking up, right? So if you're going to keep thinking about the person you're broken up with, then you have to interrupt those thoughts, like because sitting there and thinking about them isn't going to help. But I do think that, you know, you probably become a more positive person overall if you learn to do this, because then when presented with any situation, you would automatically try and see what's done is done. And so you can either have a pity party or you can try and see, you know, make some good out of it or focus on something else. Or I kind of just, instead of like you being like, oh, I get to drive a rental car to the Grand Canyon or whatever, I'm more like, okay, it's done. It happened. I don't dwell on it.
Right.
I don't necessarily turn it into a positive, but I also don't then dwell on it, you know?
Yeah. And that makes sense. That's like the middle ground where we're talking about moving from negative to sort of neutral to positive. And for you, letting it go and just not dwelling sits in the neutral. And for me, I was in the neutral for a while, like it's not the end of the world. And then right before I was leaving for the Grand Canyon, I was like, oh my gosh, this is cool. I get to take the rental car. It like switched to positive because something emerged that was positive about the situation. Mm-hmm. So I was happy about that. Well, let's switch to another set of mindsets because I think this one's also really, really interesting. This is moving from the scarcity to abundance mindset, which is basically like it's a deficit view of the world versus an asset view of the world. So people who have kind of the scarcity mindset are like, someday I'm gonna ... but I can't today. Or I'm only happy if I have the best job, or I'm only happy if I'm in a relationship. And so you think about it, like even like think of this phrase, you know, someone might say, I'm all alone. Right? That's scarcity. They're missing something. But if you move to abundance, you would say, now I have time to explore things that bring me joy because I have, I'm not in a relationship potentially. And so you turn it into an abundance. Like you went from a deficit, I'm alone because I'm missing somebody, to an abundance. Now I have extra time that I can do other things. And so the scarcity to abundance, you know, mindset shift is huge. Where do you think you lie on this? Do you think you're more like a scarcity, like you don't have enough? Or do you have more like an abundance mindset? Even if you don't, if you legitimately don't have a lot, you still feel like in some ways you do.
Yeah, I'm definitely the more abundance type. And I've been around the scarcity mindset. And I prefer the abundance mindset because I really don't have a lot. But I do have a lot in relation to a lot of people in the world. But like, to someone with a law degree and all that, I really don't have much. But I feel like I have everything that I need. And I was just talking about this actually with my wife, like, okay, we've had some little difficulties, like external. And I'm like, let's just focus on the fact that what we have is great and like how different our lives are from a year ago and that we have each other and can work forward. And so even if these external things happen, like we don't have to let them get us down, you know, like there's no reason to focus on those. Like what's going to happen is going to happen. And like, why don't we just focus on us and what we're doing and our, you know, family. And that's made a huge difference. It made a huge difference for her, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's great. Like seeing that your relationship is abundant. And even if, and you could look at it from the angle of we don't have this XYZ support from the outside or whatever it might be. But in fact, you look from the inside and you're like, we have something pretty special. It's pretty awesome. And we're overflowing like with joy right. because of that. And that's that abundant
mindset. And that's
mindset.
What we need to focus on.
Exactly.
Rather than like worrying about the job thing and what's happening here or there. And I do think like that is a very conscious effort. Like, okay, we're just, and it's more refocusing. So we're going to focus on something else. She just called me from work this morning and told me that and was like, you know, I realized that what I'm doing, that I'm like upsetting myself more when I'm focusing on this fact of this work issue. And it's going to make things more unpleasant for me and worse, you know, all around. And so this is literally talking about a mindset shift, like literally just appreciate what you have right now, mm-hmm. even though we want to work towards something else, appreciating what you have right now that's providing, you know, for our basic needs, you know?
Right. Well, and I think too, your job situation right now is a really good example of scarcity versus abundance, right? A scarcity mindset is I don't have a job. An abundant mindset is I get to do a career move that's exactly what I want right now. And I have the skills, I have the credentials, and I have the opportunity to be able to do something pretty darn cool right now without being held back by a full-time job that I'm not totally invested in. So it's just a shift, right? But it also kind of goes along with negative and positive, right? Because scarcity feels negative and abundance feels more positive. But try to think of what's abundant, right? What do you have? Like I look around and I think, you know, I could look at my life and say, both of my parents are deceased. My kid's in Germany. I'm really sad. And I am. I'm allowed to feel those things and I should, right? I don't have any family. I'm all alone. No, I'm not. I am so lucky. You know how many people have commented about how cool they think my relationship is with my brother? I mean, over and over, they're like, you call your brother and just talk to him? I'm like, yeah, I call him a couple times a week. We talk. I visit him. We have sibling days. We try to do them. We've been trying to do them once a month. It just sort of depends where we will take a whole Friday and spend the day together. We'll either go, I'll go up to his place 2 hours away or he'll come down to mine and we'll play pickleball and go to lunch. And people are like, wow, it is so cool that you have that kind of relationship with your brother. And I thought, yeah, you know what it is? It is really
cool.
And
you created that though. Like
yeah,
that's what it's not like it's always been that way. I mean, it wasn't always that way at all. And you actually made an intention to create that.
Yes, absolutely. We worked really hard to create that. And now it's just, it's abundant. I'm like, and people are like, oh, your family. I'm like, yeah, my family, my brother, his wife, my niece. I've got my daughter and she just happens to be, you know, abroad this year. But I've got my stepmom and my step grandparents and I've got all my chosen family. I've got an uncle in Buffalo. I go visit him. I've got a cousin who just flew out to Germany and he took Casey on a, you know, out to coffee. I'm like, I do have family. Like, what am I sitting around all sad about? I mean, like, yeah, I miss my mom and my dad and my grandma and all this stuff. But I'm like, I am overflowing with love from my family.
Right. Well, and there's nothing you can do about, like, those people are gone, right? I think that's, death is always worse for the survivors because, you know, you have to decide, am I going to go on and live or not? You know, am I going to focus on what is lost versus what I still have? I think that's a thing about being human in this world. What are we going to focus on? Are we going to focus on the loss? Are we going to focus on the negative? Are we going to focus on the positive and the abundance that we have? I mean, I get so irritated about my house, right? Like it's small. Now there's five of us here with three dogs and a hedgehog. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, like, and I could smell the hedgehog this morning. Then it took me 20 minutes to clean her thing completely out, right? Let her outside and run around. And then, like, now everything's perfect, right? For another week. And then with the stuff that's not done, and that's where I think I've spent so much time abroad in, like, you know, developing countries that I'm like, well, whatever, I have walls, you know, that keeps out 90% of the bugs and it keeps out, you know, predators and intruders. Like, who am I to complain? Okay, so the guy screwed me over and didn't finish the exterior of my house and it looks like crap, but whatever. Like, other people can't stand that. Like, they cannot, if it doesn't look good or it's not perfect. And my mindset is, I can live inside. I'm not exposed to the elements. yeah, it's not beautiful, it's not finished or whatever, but it's not, I'm not in any danger. I'm not drinking dirty water. You know, I've got fresh running water to my house. Like, okay, so some of it looks like crud, you know?
Yep. Exactly. It's being grateful for what you have, right?
Right.
And it was interesting. I just yesterday and today, I was listening to this podcast. I love Mel Robbins, and I'll link to it in the show notes. But she was interviewing this guy on there. His name's Dr. Carl Pillemer, and he's the director of Cornell University's Legacy Project. And he basically interviewed people in their 80s, 90s, and even hundreds. And he asked them kind of like, you know, what's the key to success in life or happiness in life? Basically, you know, looking mm-hmm. back now, what would you say about life? And there were a bunch of things, and I'll bring up a couple more as we talk through. But the one that sort of fits in this with the abundance mindset is they said, say yes to opportunities, mm-hmm. right? Say yes to opportunities. And, you know, someone invites you to dinner, say yes, right? Like, that's the abundance part, right? It's like, wow, there's someone asking me to dinner. And if you keep saying no, those opportunities are eventually going to go away. Now, I mean, if there's a caveat, you don't say yes to every single thing to the point that it's like a detriment to you right. or you're, you know, being taken advantage of. But I think the point that they were making was that we end up having a lot more opportunities than we realize. They're mm-hmm. given to us. They're shown to us. Sometimes we make them intentionally and sometimes we make them inadvertently. But the idea is that you have to say yes to some things because that's creating abundance, right?
Right.
I have an abundance of friends, right? I have a lot of really great friends, but that's because I go out there and I say yes. I show up to things. Mm-hmm. I play on things. I do things. If you want to fall in love, you have to say yes to the date, right?
Right.
If you want that abundance, you need to say yes to that abundance. Are you more of like a take an opportunity kind of person, or do you often kind of shy away from those things?
You tell me. How do you perceive me?
I think
if you think I don't do enough.
I think if like someone gives you an opportunity and it's like well thought out, planned out, and you have to show up, you will often take those, except for the social stuff. You don't necessarily go to the social stuff as much. But I think you take those opportunities if they're kind of given to you. But sometimes I wonder if you don't create enough opportunities for yourself or see them through.
I go through periods of like, again, it's like more, my life is more of a roller coaster. But no, like the other night I was like, okay, I really want to go play pickleball. So we didn't even get out of the house until like 7:35 or 8, which is very unusual for us. So we weren't there long, but I saw like 7 or 8 friends. And so I was glad just to get, like, we weren't there long. And, you know, I broke my arm 2 months ago, and so I'm rehabbing it still. And it's not like I can play for real or play, you know, like a long time. So it was just really nice to see people. And the only reason I know that many people is because I was out and about and social, right? So it's all a matter of what do you want at the time. So I'm not feeling right now like, oh, I don't have friends, or I'm not doing enough, or I'm not feeling that. So when I do feel that, then I will go out and create those opportunities. And I always, you know, have to keep my friends. I mean, I have the same core group of friends for like 20 years, you know, so that is important to me. And it is important to me to like keep connections, but I don't do the same way you do. Like, we're very different. You're way more intentional. Like, I kind of just meet people where I'm at. Okay, I played a lot of pickleball, so I met a ton of people through that. And then I got the job at the pickleball club, and then I already pretty much knew like 90% of people, but met more people there, and I thought that would be super helpful. And now they haven't been scheduling me because of my broken arm, and then they have enough people working. And I do kind of miss, you know, that contact with a lot of people. And I think about that with like being working from home, you know. Is that the best option for me? In some ways, yes. And in some ways, no. So if not, how can I create those opportunities for myself, you know, outside of the working hours, right? And then outside of being, you know, because my wife works at a hospital and she's gone all day. And so when she comes home, she's really tired and she's like, she wants downtime here. And so we've talked about that, like the tension between, oh, I want to get out and do stuff, and she wants to be back at home, you know?
Yep. Well, that's navigating that new relationship. I mean,
yeah.
And
for me, like, so she doesn't get up until later, and we tried like her getting up at 5, but it's just not her thing and doesn't work for her. So like this morning I walked the dogs, you know, way early. Like I got up at 4. I did some things. I walked the dogs, and then I came back and was really happy, and we were both happy, right? Like my thing is I've got to do the things that are just get like the dogs. Okay. Get them out, get them walked. Like I listen to a podcast or I'm listening to a book on unschooling, you know? So like, and I was looking at the stars and I was like, oh, I do really love being out, you know, even though I had to wear sweatpants and a puppy because it's like 45 degrees, but it reminded me like, that's something that like I can utilize that time. Like she doesn't need to get up. It's not going to make her happy. And then she'd be tired at work, you know?
Right.
So I'll go and do my thing and then come back and hang out, you know, with her before she gets up. And that will work better than what we've been trying, which is like her to get up. That did not work. And that was not making anybody happy.
I'm sure. But I mean, that you also know? Gives back to you. You like to have some of that time out there, particularly in the early morning and the wee hours. And, you know, you like to have, you know, even listening to podcasts and books, you're now doing that a little bit more and that fills you up. And so,
right.
You know, abundance is partially like really and truly making sure that we are filling our buckets, but it's also the mindset that the buckets that we do have filled are actually full, right? So it's like a two-part thing. It's interesting because one of the things I've heard that can be really cool to do when it comes to this mindset is to do an abundance inventory.
Mm.
You, like, look at all different aspects of your life and you say, if I were to look at this from an abundance perspective, what do I have? Right. What do I have? So I think of like right now, you know, continuing to work on my fitness. I could look at it as a scarcity mindset of like, you know, I really wish that I could have better abs and better balance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are goals. Right. But my abundance mindset is, you know, how cool it is that I live like literally like 5 minutes from Tumamoc and I can walk it. Mm-hmm. I got a great neighborhood walk. I've got hiking trails at the end of my street. I found out that I get a discount at LA Fitness through work. And I was like, cool. So I joined them and I've gone to yoga and I'm like, okay, so the abundance is that I have all these opportunities. And the abundance also is that I have flexibility with my time schedule for work.
Right.
And so I'm like, you know what? That's awesome. And the other abundance is that I do have the motivation and I do go out every day and do something. So instead of looking at the fact that like, you know, my abs aren't what I want them to be, I can look at the fact that I have all these opportunities to do the things that bring me joy and help keep me healthy. So do an abundance inventory. I mean, I was just health for me or fitness. That's not even health. That's just fitness. But look at all your stuff, your family, your job, your social life, your health, your projects, your hobbies. I mean, you're all of that stuff and say, what is abundant in my life? And if you're really lacking the ability to find anything abundant because there just simply isn't, then maybe that's a call to action, right? To go actually fill your bucket so you have some abundance.
Right. Figure out what those are. I mean, that's the thing. Like there's times when I can get down about like, oh, Tucson's so lame. You know, there's nothing here. It's boring, wop, wop. Then I take the dogs out in the midday or whatever, and I have that mountain right up, you know, outside of my house where I can go in the wash. And like, even on a sunny day, I'll ride that scooter around the neighborhood. And it's like, oh, wow, it's so fun, right? Like, could I be other places? Yeah, but anywhere I'm going to be, I'm going to want to be somewhere else. Like, that's just who I am, right? So, if I was in Italy riding a scooter, then I'm going to be like, I want to be in Thailand, you know? And then when I'm in Thailand, you know, okay, when I'm in Thailand, I just like being there. So maybe that's the place to be in the future. But
maybe.
I mean, that's going to be like, and I look at that like, okay, I can't really go right now because of my life circumstances, but I can plan to go for the future. And, you know, thinking about, I think it's like my mindset, it's really hard to say mindset shift instead of saying mind shift set. Like mindset shift is to be future focused and goal oriented and keep my eye on the prize, right? Of like when we can travel and when we can, you know, live abroad at least part of the time. And then to have this home and then, you know, the kids are one or all three, whatever, they live here and go to college here. And then we could be like in Thailand and coming back and forth, you know?
Well, that's the abundance, right? Like your abundance, you have a place to live. It's relatively inexpensive. It gives you the freedom to be able to travel. You have places you want to go. That's abundant. You have networks around the world. I mean, those, that's all the abundance pieces, right? And,
right.
You know, we've talked about trying to shift that mindset of Tucson. I was like, don't stay in Tucson if you're unhappy, but I think wherever you go, you're going to find a reason to want to be somewhere else. Like exactly like you said, why not right. be somewhere where you live in a very, very cheap, but very nice place to live in terms of like what you can afford, and then take all the extra money that you have instead of spending it on some random housing in some area is be able to travel the right. world and do the things that right. you want to do, right? That's the abundance. The abundance is the financial flexibility that you have by living here, you know?
Well, and that's the thing. I think that you have to, that's what you have to do. Like, what is it that I want? What are the things that I do have, you know? And I mean, I just laying in my bed yesterday, I thought, gosh, my bedroom's because like, we moved bedrooms because the boys are in the bedroom I used to have. And then I was like, I never had really like spent a lot of time in my front bedroom, even though it has a view of the mountain. And I was like, this bedroom is really big and it's so spacious. And now that we've put the things up on the walls and I'm really like appreciative of it, you know? Yeah, the ice messed up the floors and that guy didn't finish the outside and there's too much exercise equipment that I bought off the internet. Dogs have like taken over the brand new couch again, of course. And I'm like, but then I'm just like, well, whatever. At least I rescued some dogs and they're living yep. the greatest life on the couch. And I have the ability to go out and about. And, you know, I do get down on Tucson, but then like, you know, it started raining. It's been raining for 2 days. And then I'm like, oh my God. Yes, I want to be in the Pacific Northwest for the big mountains and stuff. But then I'm like, I don't want to have that like dreariness all the time. And yep. I'm just grateful that I have a home and I'm not being bombed and I'm not, you know, awful things aren't happening to me. I mean, what else can we ask for as humans?
Right. You're healthy. You're safe. You're in a place that, frankly, people save all of their money and their vacation time a year to come visit where we live. I mean, if we put that in perspective a little bit, right? Like you live in a mm-hmm. vacation destination, which is pretty cool. But okay, let's do one more shift because we're going to shift to the last mindset. And I really want to make sure we have some time for this because I think this really complements our conversation. And this is the one from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. So a fixed mindset is basically thinking that what you know now or how you kind of navigate the world now is fixed and that you can't mm-hmm. sort of improve. And a growth is that growth mindset is that you have the capacity to learn and develop and change as a human. And you might think, well, of course, everybody thinks they have a growth mindset, except that that's not the case for everything. Like even little kids are just like, they might say, oh, I'm not a math person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you, like, what do you mean? Like you could keep learning math and get better at math if you want to be better at math, but people label themselves. And so we think at someone who might say like, I'm bad at picking partners. Okay. Mm-hmm. How about maybe I want to get better at seeing red flags early on, right? Like the different take on it, right? This idea that I can improve right. something or like, right. like for you, I'm going to say one for you because we've been talking about this. I can't build this website, which you haven't right. actually said, but you could say, I can't build this website rather than I'm going to learn how to build this website. Like I'm going to be persistent.
I said I can't build this website and I've like pounded my tail and walked away. And
I know. And then you keep going back and then you keep sending me screenshots of text boxes and stuff. But but you are going to learn how to build that website because that's the growth mindset is the ability to kind of open up your capacity to learn and not just learn technical things like a website, but to learn about yourself, right? Like people say, I'm just a stubborn person. Okay. Well, you know, if you don't really like that about yourself, then, you know, maybe shift it a little bit, work on it. Think about, are there ways you can be more compromising or more attentive to other people's needs, right? And so you can do that, but you have to have the mental shift to believe that you can, because if you don't believe you can change or learn something, then you're just simply not going to just learn it. It doesn't just happen.
Right. True.
True. All right.
True.
Well, let me share one thing from that podcast again. I want to get your take on it. So I love that podcast that we had about the Legacy Project. And they were talking about a couple things that sort of align with this. And I think they're cool is people will say that they often regret what they didn't do versus what they did do. So instead of like, you know, I always wanted to learn how to ski, but I never did. Or, you know, I should have left that marriage, but I didn't. right? This idea that it's fixed, somehow something is fixed and that you can't grow and learn and develop and change your circumstances. Do you have any regrets of things that you didn't do versus things that maybe you did do?
Yeah, a million.
Okay. What's one that stands out to you? Something that you didn't do that you wish you had done?
Well, for sure. Going back to school, you know, okay. So I'm married to someone 15 years younger than me. Right. And she's thinking about PA school now. She's a ultrasound tech. And we were talking about it. Yes, there'll be sacrifices, but she's 40. And using your logic, which is what I use with her, is like a couple, 2-3 years, and just start doing it now. And then before you know, it'll be done. And then you could have 30 more years of a career that's more fulfilling than what you have now. And exactly. I should have done that. Now I still can, just because I'm 55 doesn't mean that I can't. I mean, I've been looking at like wildlife conservation and whatnot to be able to do the things that I want to do and actually get a job, you know, promoting sanctuaries and stuff like that. And so I think I regret a lot of things I didn't do. You know,
did you have those opportunities and just pass them by, or you're just discovering those opportunities now?
Well, I mean, like I started out as pre-med, and then I was at one point I was going to go to a PA program. I applied to get an accelerated BSN, you know, the Bachelor's of Science in Nursing. Like, I mean, after law school, I went and did the prereqs for that, you know, and then I applied to that. But because I got rejected by the one school, University of Wyoming, which only took 8 students, I was like, forget it. Like, so I took all those prereqs that I got a 4.0 in and basically just threw them away, because now it's been like 12 years. And who would have thought that 12 years would have passed? And so, like, yes, I'm 55, but I still now can say I might have another 50 years of life in me, you know, God willing, that I do. And to look at someone who's 15 years younger than me and say, let's do this. Like, I'd rather you go forward for the next, you know, that we like sacrifice for a couple years so that you can have like satisfaction and that you can like open up all kinds of doors and also have a much more challenging and interesting, you know, field. Right. And so I don't want her to make that mistake. I don't want to be part of, you know, helping her to make that mistake and being one of those people that's like, well, it costs money to go back to school. Well, okay. Yeah, but it does. But a lot of people do it. And I look at like, cause that was one of my mindsets. Well, when I was like 35, I went to law school. I should have gone to medical school. It would have been much more up my alley, you know? But I didn't do it because of the money. And it's like, well, everybody else took out loans. Like, what was my deal that I couldn't? Like, what is that? So I don't want her to have that. And I don't want to be part of that. And so I'm trying to look at it, the exact thing you're talking about, and say, I don't want to look back when you're 55 and I'm 70 and you didn't do something because we said, oh, it's going to be too hard or too expensive.
Right.
And lose out on 15, 20, 30 years of a great career.
Exactly. Especially since PA school is, you know, what is it, 4 years? I mean, she'd be.
No, two.
Two years. She'd be
plus
42.
Pre-reps, yeah.
You're right.
Exactly.
It's just like the time is going to pass regardless. So, yeah, looking back and thinking about that, I think that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, that comes straight from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I mean, she's got too much of her working career ahead of her to be miserable.
Exactly.
And frankly, you do too. So figuring out what you want to do. I mean, I think you're on the right path right now with some of the advising and coaching and consulting stuff, because that will be something you can always do on the side. Even if you did find a full-time job in conservation, like you'd still have that opportunity to bring in money here and there, which we've talked about diversifying your income. Or you leave it all together if it doesn't make you happy. Right now it's awesome, because from an abundance mindset, you have like a package deal to be able to put out in the world to make money. There's other people that don't, right? If they want to bring in a little trickle, they got to go get a job over at, you know, a fast food restaurant or a gas station after hours. And so you're not in that situation. But
and it is like the whole thing about borrowing money, like for like student loans. Like, I just did not. I had a real issue about that from the time I was younger. And I do feel like that really held me back, you know, because I should have gone to a medical school. I mean, I'm saying this right now and I'm pretty.
Why don't you go?
Youthful still.
Why don't you go?
Well, I could. I know.
Well, you're the only one holding yourself back.
PA school, right? I know.
Why
you're
not?
Right.
Why not? I mean, you're exactly. not, you're 55. People work until 75 these days. You know, it's like, you got 20 years of work ahead of you. Do something.
Oh, but
love.
I do have to tell you something funny because so when I pick up the twins at school, this lady says, your grandma's here. I didn't hear it at first. And then it happened. So I was going to tell her, I was going to walk up to her and tell her, and they're like, speak to her. And I'm like, then you better tell her I'm not your grandma. So, but the other day I was playing baseball with my stepson and this two younger kids, probably like maybe 7 year olds, literally were throwing a football between the two of them. And one of them looks over at me and Jazz and goes, why is that kid throwing that ball? Why is that kid hitting to this grandma? And I said, number one, I'm not a grandma. And I had several other things to say, but you know, it was obviously the look on his face and then they ran away. But, I was just like, what the heck? Like that is because I have gray hair. Right. And then if I don't want to have grandma mentality, you know what I mean? Like I'm so offended by people saying that. And I'm like, I don't even like a grandma. I mean, maybe there are.
There's
I'm not
cool
insulting
and hip grandmas.
Grandmas
out there. There's some cool and hip grandmas, but I get what you're saying.
But I'm not a grandma.
I know you're not a grandma unless those very little kids have children of their own. So
yeah,
no, you're not.
And that's the thing also, it's like, you know, I'm out there playing baseball. I mean, the only thing that maybe makes me look slower is because I've, you know, rehabbing a broken arm. And so my throws aren't as good, but literally the other day I had one glove on my left hand. I was hitting with one arm with the ball, you know, hitting it like far and up in the air. And so then I would then catch the ball that was thrown back to me and then hit the other ball. And here I am doing like three things. And then someone calls me a grandma. And it's like, you know what, buddy? I don't care that you're seven and lunch lady or whatever you are at the school. Why are you assuming I'm a grandma? And so I don't want to have a mentality that puts me in that box either. You know, like my age shouldn't matter to me. And I always say that it doesn't, but you know, there are days where I'm like, gosh, am I just too old to do anything? You know?
Right. I mean, this is clearly, I mean, grandmas are awesome. And there's a lot of really cool, hip, fun, active grandmas, but I understand that this is a trigger for you because it insinuates someone who is too old to do the things that you are still doing, still want to do and vibrantly living your life as. So it's the kind of the metaphor behind it. I mean, that makes,
well, and generationally, right? So my grandmothers, my own grandmothers were not cool and hip.
Right.
They weren't. They had fixed mindsets, right?
Yep.
Both of them. And so when I hear that, I just bristle. Like, I am not that. And
you're
I
not them.
That.
Right. Those people.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you seen The Last of the Sea Women, the documentary about the abalone divers in Korea?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. And I'm going to be one of them. And I mean, I won't go for abalone because I'm a vegan, but The Last of the Sea Women, it is, you should watch that. You should download it for your flight. It's amazing. And these women are 80, 90 years old and they go on, they free dive and they collect abalone.
That's pretty cool.
And nothing is going to stop them. And
see,
one of them said, literally, I won't stop until my throat is slit. I mean, they go out in that cold sea.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, it's unbelievable. It's an amazing, like, group of women.
That's cool. Well, and that's part of that idea, the growth mindset, right? That I can do this. There's that fixed mindset is I'm too old to do this. The growth mindset is like, I can do this. I'm going to do it. And I mean, there's sometimes physically we can't do something, but a lot of times we limit ourselves. Like my dad, when he was in his 40s, he's like, oh, I have to give up basketball. I'm just too old. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, right.
And
now
so
you're playing, right?
Now
you're
50s. I've been in a women's league and I'm in my 50s and I play with my friend who's almost 60s, you know.
Right.
So I'm like, it's mindset, right?
Right.
But let's talk about the podcast too that Mel Robbins had where that he, you know, she interviewed Dr. Pillemer. And the other thing that the elders were saying was really interesting because I think this hits on what we're talking about is live your life as though it will be short. Like at any age you are, like a sense of urgency, travel now, get that job now.
That's what I say.
Go to school now. Tell people that you love them now. Do all the things you want to do now. Don't wait. Don't say in 2 years, we're going to take that trip. I mean, sometimes we have to do that because we have to like save money for something or get the time
right.
to get that. But sometimes we just literally punt things because we just punt them. And sure. The idea is call up that person that you've been missing and just say, hey, I'm just thinking about you. Or, you know, you've always wanted to try this place for dinner. Just go. Just do it. Like, do it. I'm a big fan of this. This is how I live my life. Like, to the T, I live my life like right. this. People have said that, like, by age 25, I had lived more than, you know, most people by age 40. And now I'm in my 50s, and people have said that I've lived so much of my life, you know, more than someone who's in their 80s or 90s, because I just stuff it all in. I say mm-hmm. what I want to say. I do what I want to do. I go where I want to go. And so this idea that this growth mindset is I can do it. I can do it all, you know, again,
yeah, you can.
Scheduling
you can
and
do
all
whatever.
That,
but, right. Yeah. But yeah. Do what you want to do.
You can dive for abalone, right?
I can play basketball. Until you're 90 something years
exactly.
old.
Exactly. Exactly.
In the sea.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. That is their mindset, is you're not going to take this away from me.
Exactly. Exactly.
I will do this till the day I die. And one lady slipped and fell, and she had to get pins in her ankle. And everyone was worried about her because she had never been away from the sea. And she spent like, she was supposed to be out for a year, but she was out for a couple months. And she's like, I'm going back. I will not be stopped. I cannot be kept from the sea.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Right. It's that persistent, that attitude of, no, you can't take that from me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take that joy from me. You know, I keep saying I'm going to be walking up Tumamoc when I'm in my 90s, and I might go a little slower, or maybe I won't. I don't know. But there's a guy who goes up Tumamoc, and Tumamoc, for our listeners from outside of the Tucson area, Tumamoc is just a little under a 3 mile round trip paved path that goes up this hill in town. It's like a little mountain butte, and it's a pretty big elevation gain. It's over 700 feet. So it's steep at parts, and it's a great workout. Tracy and I do it all the time. You go up it, you know, once, maybe twice. We've also done it many times in a row, but it's just such a great
yes.
place to go. And so there's a man out there, and I think he's in his 90s, and he goes up with his walker, and he'll go very slow, but he gets all the way to the very top, and then he turns right back around. What an inspiration.
And that's steep with the walker. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Right. I pushed a stroller up there once. Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
I was like,
well,
never again.
There's actually several older ladies who do the trail near me, which is interesting because that one's very rocky. It's not paved, but it is, if you want to do it, then it's up to you to make it happen.
Make it happen.
That's just the reality of nothing is going to happen unless you make it happen.
Exactly.
And I have to get over my fears of like borrowing money and stuff like that. And it's weird because I can be a cheerleader for somebody else, but it's harder for me to do it for myself.
Well, and the other thing too, is you don't have to borrow all of it. Right.
What do you mean?
There's money.
That's a whole nother discussion.
There's money in lots of places. You can find scholarships. You can find donors.
Yes,
you can find sponsors. You can find opportunities to work part-time. You know that if you got a job part-time at the institution in which you're trying to take classes, they give you a tuition waiver. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do to find money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other thing, is you got to make it happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just sitting back and saying, here's what somebody else says I have to do to make it happen. No, make it happen in the way that you want. Manifest it. I'm going to go to school and I'm going to have very little, if no debt at all. And make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like someone's going to mail you checks. You got to get out there and hustle for it, but
right,
it's there. I had my, you know, I ended up, well, with my PhD entirely paid for because I worked at the
mm-hmm.
U of A and they paid for
mm-hmm.
it. It was $25 a semester or something for like a registration fee. I got a free PhD, you know?
Right.
But I got a job at the university making way less than I was at my previous job
right.
because I knew I'd get a tuition waiver. And guess what? I have no debt from that.
Right.
So it's smart.
Right.
Right. It's the mindset of I'm going to make it happen.
Right.
And if you don't have that mindset of like, it'll just happen because whatever is given to me or opportunities, I'll just have to work with that. No, you don't.
Right.
Right. So that's part of that growth mindset, is believing that you can
right.
leverage opportunities that might not be present in your immediate sphere. Making
always those look for those opportunities.
Yeah, and then make them.
Right.
Say, I would like to go to school for free. How am I going to make that happen?
Right.
and then figure it out.
So, nice.
All right. Well, we have gone the distance on this. We've gotten to talk about negative to positive mindsets, scarcity to abundance mindsets, and fixed to growth mindsets. Lots of cool stuff today. And thinking about some of those kind of tangible things that our listeners can do through some of our stories and our own experiences. But I'm hoping that people are who are listening are inspired to really think about mindset shifting, because it is one, I think one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself in terms of self-love is having mindsets that are productive and helpful and contributory towards yourself rather than drag you down and, you know, trip you up and get in the way. So, that's my hope and my takeaway. What is your big takeaway for today?
That it's all within your control. It's really all just up in your own head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you develop that positive mindset, then you're going to just open a lot more opportunities for yourself.
Yes. Yes, you are.
I'm not saying opportunities like you have to go out and do stuff, but even how you just look every day at the world, how you feel every day.
Right. Right. That sense of happiness, fulfillment, peace, mm-hmm. right? You know? I don't think anyone gets to the end of their life and say, gosh, I really wish I was more upset and angry and agitated. Like, yeah, no one says that. So think about it now. So however old you are out there and you're listening, you're never too old to shift your mindset. Even if you just start with one area of your life or even one situation and work from there, that's the greatest gift of self-love, I think, that you can give yourself. All right, folks, it has been entertaining, interesting, and educational. But we are going to wrap up our talk today. And for all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship, and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.